As most of you know, our pastor's in Newcastle, Indiana, preaching for a Brother Bruce Crabtree conference up there. I think he'll be heading back this afternoon, but we're blessed and privileged. I mean that sincerely, and I know you all feel that way too. Very blessed to have Brother Bob Coffey here with us this morning from Ashland, Kentucky. He's been a dear friend and an encouragement for many years to me and to God's people. So we look forward to hearing from him this morning, and he'll be preaching again tonight. So, but without any further ado, Brother Bob, you come and bring God's message.
Thank you, Brad. It's my joy and pleasure to be here today. It's an awesome thing to stand where your pastor stands. No man in this day preaches the gospel more faithfully or with more power than Brother Donnie Bell. I know you rejoice that he's your pastor, and I rejoice for you and with you in that. And we pray the Lord will bless him today as we pray he'll bless us. Turn to the book of John, chapter 2. And I have what I hope is a very simple and clear message today. The title of this message is Five Miracles. And let me tell you about this. Sometimes the most difficult thing for anyone who preaches the gospel is to find not who we're supposed to preach. We know that right away. No doubt about who we're supposed to preach. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. But we're looking for the text. We're looking for the word of that hour. And that's just critical, because you come here with a need. We all do. I need to worship Christ this morning. And you come here with cares on your heart and troubles and difficulties. That's the way of this life. So that we want to find the word that's appropriate to that hour, to this hour. And sometimes even as you sit waiting to step into this pulpit, that doubt will creep up in your mind. Do I have the word for this hour? And sometimes our Lord is very, very gracious to his weak servants. And he'll give them a little word of comfort. And you might as well share in this morning too. Because I felt like this five miracles was the message. But sitting here I'm going, do I have the word? Do I have the right word? And then Brother Brad gets up and says, let's sing the bread of life. And in that is a reference to when our Lord fed the 5,000 by the Sea of Galilee, the bread of life. And I thought, And then Brother Boring prays, and he refers to the troubled waters, the miracle when our Lord healed the man who was by the five porches. I feel pretty certain that we've got the word this morning. Now you pray with me that the Lord will bless it to your hearts and to mine. If you have John chapter 2, we're going to look at the first five miracles that the Lord Jesus Christ did in his earthly ministry here on this earth. Now, he did many miracles, not just the five, but there are five miracles in the beginning of the book of John here, and they are recorded as the first five miracles that he did. And the other Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, have many others. But we're going to look at these first five. And you're all familiar with this first miracle. It was at the wedding feast in Cana of Galilee, and our Lord changed water into wine. You remember the story? They served the wine, and they ran out. They drank all the wine. And they came to our Lord and said, we're out of wine. What are we going to do? And he had them bring those big jugs of water, and he changed them into wine. Now, we're all familiar with that, and you look here in John 2, verse 11, it says, "This is the beginning of miracles that did Jesus in Cana of Galilee." And let me show you what we want to notice about this. Three things. First, Christ was blessing the institution of marriage. And you young people here, you may think you're not ever going to be married or it's going to be so far out there you can't imagine, but you store this in your mind from someone who knows, because it's the Word of God and it's what it teaches. When you fall in love and when you date and you become engaged, you marry. You hear that? You marry. You say, well, why is that? I'll tell you why. No other arrangement will God bless. He won't bless any other arrangement that you have unless you marry. And you do wise. You do wise. You're commanded by the Word of God to marry someone who loves Christ. Fact is, if you want to be miserable all your life, he may be handsome, she may be beautiful, but I tell you what, that's not happiness. Find someone who loves Christ, and they'll love you. I didn't mean to get off on the side there, but that's an important lesson, and it's something that's being taught here. You say, well, why is it that way? How can I be so sure? I put it in words you can understand. Marriage pictures the relationship of the Lord Jesus Christ and His people.
Amen.
His church. And what I mean by that is that believers become the bride of Christ. Just like you girls hope someday you'll be the bride of some special man. And I understand that. That's a good thing. It's a good thing. You girls should look for the right man. You fellows, look for the right girl to make your bride. When you do, marry them. But I tell you what, you can understand this because what you want is exactly what we want as the bride of Christ. Tell you what, we don't want Christ to leave us one day, do we? We don't want to be mistreated. We don't want to be, I love you today and tomorrow I don't. No, and I tell you, it can't be that way with the Lord Jesus Christ. When He sets His love on someone, He loves them eternally. When He gathers them to Him, it's forever.
Amen.
Now, if that's what you want in a husband or a wife, then make it a believer and marry them. You say, well, I hope all these miracles don't have this much to say. Well, it's all right. That was important. And I felt led to emphasize that. Because in our day, we see so much disobedience to God's command in that regard. And here's the second thing we see in this miracle. We see that Christ... Now, this may seem too simple to you, but what we see here is that Christ can do miracles. Is that too simple? Well, it's not to those who need a miracle done for them. Everyone who's in real trouble, thanks God that there is one who can do for them what they cannot do for themselves. That's what a miracle is, you know. Is when someone does for you something you cannot do for yourself. Something that's impossible to be done for you.
Amen.
That's a miracle. And Christ can do miracles. You see it there in verse 11? This is the beginning of miracles. That's plural. Aren't you glad that he didn't just have so many he could do or just one? Christ can do miracles. That's plural. And here's the third thing. Notice that the Lord Jesus Christ changed something, water, into something that it was not. Wine.
Yeah.
Did you follow that? He takes water. It's not wine, is it? He takes water and makes it into something that it never was before. That water was never wine. And He changes it into wine. Now that's a miracle. You say, why is that so important? Christ, the water of life, was changed at Calvary.
Yes, sir.
He was made sin who knew no sin. He became something He had never been before. That's a miracle. But thank goodness that's not all that happened at Calvary. What happened there also is that us who were sin are made into something we never were before. We were made holy in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. How many of us, when we see the Lord Jesus Christ, we fall in love with Christ, we marry Christ, committed to Christ, we found out He loved us from the foundation of the world, we resolve, don't we? I'm going to do right now. I'm going to straighten up and fly right. I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to do that anymore. What happens? Boy, we're not very good at that, are we? Just the bat of an eye, and we're right. We just do things. Paul said, that which I wouldn't do, that's exactly what I do. And what I would do, I don't seem to be able to do it. What's the problem? Well, we resolve. You know, we've been changed in the sight of God. We're holy and perfect in His sight. But we're still living with this flesh, aren't we? Someday we're going to go be with Him and be perfect. But I'll tell you, at Calvary, what happened was that the Lord Jesus Christ, the water of life, became the blood of sacrifice. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. Now, why did Christ do this miracle? Here's the answer to why He did all miracles. You see the last part of verse 11, it says, this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee. Why? Manifesting forth His glory. And that His disciples believed on Him. The reason Christ does miracles is that it's for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's for the glory of His Father that He does these things. But the second thing is, so we'll believe. We see the miracles and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's why He did them. All right, look at the second miracle. Turn over to John 4. John 4. This second miracle that the Lord Jesus Christ did, you see in verse 54, we see that it clearly says this is again the second miracle that Jesus did when He came out of Judea into Galilee. And look back at verse 46 and we see what was involved. So Jesus came again unto Cana of Galilee, where He made water into wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. And when this man heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, sir, come down ere my son, my child die. And Jesus said unto him, go your way, your son lives. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying that your son's living. He's alive. Apparently he died. We understand that? The boy died while his father went to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he found out now that on his way back, the servant said, he's alive again. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend, and they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus had said unto him, your son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. So what's so particular about this miracle? Well, we already know that the Lord Jesus Christ can do miracles. But let me ask you something. Do you know? Do you? I ask myself, do I know that the Lord Jesus Christ does miracles? Do I know that? Do I believe that? This man believed that. Have any of you ever seen a picture in a picture? You know what that means? Sell artwork to make a living, make expenses through this world. When I see a picture, someone's painted a picture of a room And it's got a sofa in it and maybe a lamp or two or something and a table. And behind the sofa, there's a picture. Well, that's a picture in a picture. And I don't know, I always want to know what's in that picture. Well, there's a picture in the picture here. You say, this is sounds like one miracle to me. No, no, there's five miracles in this one miracle here. And let me show you what they are. The first miracle in the miracle here, and I mean the big miracles, that the Lord healed this man's son. But look in verse 47 what it says. It says, when he heard. When this man heard. Do you know what that is? That's a miracle.
Yes,
how's that a miracle? Because let me tell you how we're all born. We had a little grandson a couple years ago, and at first I wasn't sure he heard. And finally, when nobody's around, I went like that, and he popped and jumped. Well, he heard. He can hear. And most children are born hearing, aren't they? Naturally. But I tell you what, 100% of us are born deaf to the Word of God. We're spiritually deaf, dead in our trespasses and sin. So the first miracle here, this man heard the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a miracle. Here's the second miracle in the miracle. It says in that same verse there, verse 47, it says that when he heard that Jesus was coming to Judea and to Galilee, he went to him. He besought him. That's another miracle. Has anybody ever been to a funeral and there's somebody laying in a coffin there? Anybody ever see that fella get out of the coffin and follow somebody out the door? Go looking for somebody? No, because we're dead. That person's dead, aren't they? Well, we're born spiritually dead, and therefore we don't seek the Lord Jesus Christ by nature.
Right.
It's a miracle if we go seeking after the Lord Jesus Christ. And then look at the third miracle in the miracle, verse 50. Have you got it? Jesus said to this man, go thy way, your son liveth. And look at this, the man believed. He believed the word of Jesus. That is a miracle. You say, how's that a miracle? Well, let me just ask you this. If you've got children like I do, how well do they listen to you? Huh? Don't you tell them, don't touch the stove, it'll burn you. My little girl, when she was three, I told her, we were at somebody's house and they had this big stereo system. I said, don't touch it. Don't touch it. And finally she walked right over to it, turned right at me, and I said, don't touch it. And she went. And then took off running because she knew what was coming. I chased her down. I had to try to teach her. But by nature, we don't obey. We don't listen to the Word of God by nature because we're dead in trespasses and sin. But something happened to this man, a miracle. And it's not that he healed his son, it's that he healed this man's heart. He gave him a new heart that sought Christ, that believed Christ. Oh my, what a change, what a miracle. And then there's another miracle here, the last one. Not only did this man hear and see and believe Christ, he told others as well. He spread the good news. You see verse 53, so the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, your son liveth. This man believed, and his whole house. His whole house believed. Let me ask you, is it possible that our children just might believe the Word of God? Our whole house? That's my ambition. My ambition is that my children, my grandchildren, hear the Word of God and believe. You say, well, we just got to sit around waiting a miracle? Yeah, we do. But I tell you what, if you're looking for a miracle, bring them where they're happening.
That's right.
Put them under the Word of God. Forsake not the assembly of God's people. If you want your children and grandchildren to believe the gospel, bring them here to sit under the gospel. This may be a miracle happen that they'll believe. Your whole house will believe too. Christ is still doing miracles today. This miracle is like the first. It glorifies Christ and his people believe. You see that pattern in this? Look at the third miracle. Turn over to chapter 5. And look in verse 1, and let me read a few verses here to you. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in Hebrew tongues Bethesda, which had five porches. And in these lay a great multitude of impotent and sick folks, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the waters. Before an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water, whosoever then was first after the troubling of the water stepped in and was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. And Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case. He said to him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" And the impotent man answered him, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I'm coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise up, rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The obvious miracle here is that Christ healed a lame man, a man who couldn't walk. And this is a place called Bethesda. You know what Bethesda means, or Bethesda? It means the place of mercy. Christ ordained that this man was at the place of mercy when he came there. Now, you say, was this an accident? There were, listen to me, five porches. And they said those porches were bigger than this room. And they all surrounded this pool at Bethesda. So we got five porches full of sick people. Did the Lord Jesus Christ come and heal them all? Doesn't say that, does it?
No.
Now, he may have healed many. I don't know that. But we know he healed one, don't we? And that's a miracle. That he healed even one. You say, how many is he going to heal? I don't know. I don't know. How many miracles are there going to be? I don't know. I don't know. They're going to be as many as he ordains to happen. Notice this. It takes no miracle to reveal to us the frailty of the flesh, the helplessness of human effort. God removes his hand for a second and we'll all become just like this man. Sick. The germs of this world will overwhelm us all except by his grace. This man is just like you and me by nature. You say, how's that? Let me show you two words here. Have you got chapter 5, verse 5? It says, a certain man was there, and he was infirm. 38 years. Now, I'm older than that, but I tell you what, I've been infirm all my life. I bet, you know, you get over one sickness, and what happens? Just wait a little while. You get another one. Because we're born infirm. Adam was upright. You know, Adam was never sick. You children know that. He never had a sick day in his life until he ate of that fruit. When sin entered the world, he was infirm from then on. He was going to be sick and get a little better and get sick and get a little better and get sick a little better. And then one day he's going to die.
Yeah.
Which is what's going to happen to us. The oldest man that ever lived, it says, Methuselah, what was it, 630-something years, and then he died. And you can put that after all of our names. We're going to live so long, and then he died. It's the way of all flesh. We need a miracle now. We need a miracle. And it does take a miracle. You see this second word in verse 7, it says, the impotent man. Impotent means helpless. This man, you say, why didn't he get in the pool when the waters were troubled? He was impotent. He couldn't do it. You say, well, I mean, the same answers to the question, why didn't everybody go to heaven? Why don't they just do the right thing? And because we're impotent.
That's right.
We're sick and we're helpless. We can't do for ourselves what we need done. It does take a miracle for any of us to see that by nature, spiritually, we're infirm and impotent, helpless. You see what this fellow said in verse 7? The rest of it, he said, when the Lord said, you know, will you be made whole? And the impotent man answered and said, sir, I have no man. When the water is troubled to put me into the pool. Look at what he said. He said, I have no man. Look at me here. Have you got a man? Do you have a man?
Amen.
Huh? Have I got a man? Let me tell you, don't count on daddy or mama to do it for you. This man, he had parents. Where were they? Why didn't they put him in the pool? I don't know, but they couldn't or didn't. I tell you what, mom and daddy not going to help you. You need a man. You need the God man. The Lord Jesus Christ is who we need. That's who this man needed. Getting in the pool had nothing to do with it. This man needed the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I've got no man. Out of his own mouth came the answer. I have no man. Oh, do you have a man? Your children, you got a man? Got somebody to help you? Do for you what you can't do for yourself? Oh, we need a man. Look at verse 15. Who was this man? The man, it said, this man departed and he told the Jews that it was Jesus. You know what Jesus means? He shall save his people. You need the man who can save you. There's only one. Only one. We need the man, Christ Jesus. And one more thing here. Our nature is so corrupt, do we realize that it takes a miracle for us to even desire to obey the command of our God? What happened here? In verse 8, our Lord said, rise, take up thy bed and walk. Well, did this fellow sit there and go, I can't. I can't. No, you know what he did? Verse 9, he said, and immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. How was he able to do that? He'd never been able to do it before. You know how he did it? By a miracle of God's grace. God speaks. He believed. He was able. With every command, God gives the ability to do what's necessary. He got a new body. But he got a lot more than that, didn't he? He got a man. He got the Lord Jesus Christ. And then here's the fourth miracle in chapter 6. And these miracles are all tied together on purpose. You see, chapter 6, verse 1 says, after these things, after these miracles, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, that is in the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw the miracles, his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. You are familiar with this miracle. You all know, as a child, you heard, there were 5,000. And how many fish did they have? 2 little ones. How many loaves of bread? And 5. And how are they going to feed all these people? How's it going to happen? And it says, that's all they had, and yet they were all filled. Well, here's the point of this miracle. The Lord provides. He provides. If you have a man, if you have this man, he'll provide. He'll give you everything you need. He'll provide everything you need. And it's proven in this miracle here. The Lord will provide spiritually. He leads his sheep beside still waters and green pastures. Look at verse 11 here, what it says in chapter 6. Verse 11 says, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he'd given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would eat. Say, how does the Lord provide spiritually? First of all, he gives us a new heart, a new mind to believe on him. Our desire is to worship him, to sit at his feet. And what he also does is notice that he took the bread and gave it to his disciples. You know where your pastor gets the bread of life? He gets it from the Lord Jesus Christ. This is how it's ordained. The miracle of salvation comes from the Holy Spirit by the direction of the Lord Jesus Christ, gives your pastor the bread of life, the word, and he brings it to you every time you come together. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. Just like feeding 5,000 with these 5 loaves and 2 fishes, it was a miracle. But it illustrates that God provides spiritually. If there's no blessing to us, there can only be one problem. We're not in the Word. We're not here to get the blessing. Every time your pastor comes up here, he's just throwing out the bread. It's an endless store. May look like not much to us, but it's endless. There's never runs in feed as many as come in here. Our Lord also provides physically and materially. You've never seen God's people begging bread. You remember who had the 5 loaves and 2 fishes? It was a boy like you. Brandon is like your youngest. He was a boy. And he had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. You suppose the Lord just commandeered, took those loaves and fishes and sent that boy home empty-handed? Is that what he'd do? Oh, no. No, no. It was a miracle that he fed all them, but do you remember what the boy took home? He took home 12 baskets. Look at verse 13. They gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over above unto them that had eaten. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over was the bounty this boy took home. He had 5 little loaves and 2 fishes. He went home with 12 baskets full of bread. And God provides for us the same way. We have more than we need. And then also here, the Lord provides eternally. Abraham told Isaac, the Lord shall provide himself a lamb. And our Lord was right here on his way to Calvary. And he would do eternally for his people all they needed done for them. He'd be their representative and their substitute, just as he provided for the 5,000 here. He's done for us. It's already done. All we need. And then look here at verse 5 and 6. Go back there. The Lord Jesus Christ actually planned to do this miracle before he actually did it. You say, how you know that? Look at verse 5 here. It says, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw this great company come unto him, he said to Philip, when shall we buy bread that they may eat? You say, our Lord was worried. No. He's asking Philip, so Philip will learn something here.
Amen.
And we can learn something here, too. The Lord said, how are we going to feed all these? Where are we going to get the money to buy bread for them? And look at verse 6. This he said to Philip to prove him. For the Lord himself knew what he would do. You know what? If he does a miracle here this morning, it'll be because he planned to do it before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
You say, no way. And the kids say, no way. That's amazing. That'd be a miracle. Exactly. And this man, if you've got this man, he planned all these miracles from the foundation of the world. And he just might do one this morning. He just might do one. It's a miracle that the Son of God would do this. He would live and die for wretches like us. Yet he planned it. And the longer we follow Christ, the more amazed we will be at who he is, what he's done, why he did it. Day by day, we learn why he's called Wonderful, the Counselor, the Mighty God, and the Prince of Peace. Now turn back to Matthew chapter 14, and we'll look at the 5th miracle. And this is the next miracle in the book of John, but the way Matthew wrote it is a little more clear. And in these next verses after this 4th miracle is the account of the 5th. And you're familiar with it. It's when the Lord Jesus Christ walked on water. But read here with me a portion of this in Matthew 14, verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. And the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Walking on the sea. Remember that. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And the Lord said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come unto the ship, the wind ceased. You know, men and creatures fly over the water, and the fish swim in the water, don't they? And, you know, you and I could put on a bell cap with a hose, and we could walk on the bottom of the water, couldn't we? We put one of those masks and scuba through the water. But no man, no man, no creature ever before the Lord Jesus Christ had ever walked on water. This was a demonstration of the pure, raw, undiluted, absolute, sovereign, divine power of this man.
Yeah.
Have you got a man? You want this man. The Almighty Man. This man can do the impossible. This man can do anything. This man will accomplish what he purposes to do. Do we realize how far our Lord walked that night? I tell you, he didn't step off the dock and go a few feet. He didn't walk 100 yards out there. Do you know how far the old writers say he walked? If the wind was contrary and it was a storm, they estimate that our Lord, when he came out of the mountain and stepped on the water, you know how far it was to that ship? 8 miles. You know, these fellas, I saw the other night some ad on some channel where they're going to show how the Red Sea probably happened. And how all these miracles, let me tell you, this one, there's no human explanation. It's a miracle. Something that could not be done was done. The Lord Jesus Christ walked 8 miles on the water. He didn't just skip across a puddle. You kids can do that, right? He walked 8 miles on the water in a storm. And I'll tell you why. It's a picture. He came from glory and lived 33 years. He walked through this cesspool of sin.
Yeah.
For 33 years. For somebody.
Yeah.
He's the representative. He's the man for somebody. He's got a people. And he came and he did this for them. He submitted himself to the cruel death of the cross. Why? So we one day won't have to. He gave us his righteousness because we didn't have any. That's a miracle. We're made something that we never were before. He took our sins so we no longer have any. Did he accomplish what he set out to? You bet he did. Just like he accomplished, he set out to walk across 8 miles of stormy water, and he did it. He came from glory to do this for his people. And he's going to come again one day. And this is a picture of what he would do for all his people. Did you notice how careful I was to only say that no man before had ever walked on water? I was careful because we know at least one other man did walk on water after the Lord Jesus Christ, didn't he? Peter, we just read about it, didn't we? Peter said, "I want to do that." And the Lord said, "Well, come on. Come on, Peter." And he stepped out there. The Lord bid him and enabled him to walk on the water. How? By faith. And oh, when Peter's faith faded, so did his ability. When we depend on the flesh, we'll fail. You know what Peter's problem was? Look here in verse 30. When Peter saw the wind boisterous, how Peter was unable to do it? He came off that ship looking at the Lord Jesus Christ. And as long as he kept his eye on the Lord Jesus Christ, he just kept walking right out across that water. And the minute he went, uh-oh, down the wind. And there's a lesson there. If you got a man, keep your eyes focused on him. Don't start looking in here. There's nothing good there to see. Look to the man, Christ Jesus. If you've got a man, look to him. The miracle's not in the facts, not in the doctrine. It's not even in the miracles. It's in the person who does the miracles. The Lord Jesus Christ. It's all in Christ. Without Christ, Peter was just another man sinking in the sea of sin. Coming to Christ, fixed on Christ, Peter was just like Christ, wasn't he? Walk on water. Standing on the water. It's a miracle. You hold Matthew 14 a minute, let me show you something real special. If you know the man, this will thrill you. Turn to Revelation chapter 15. This is too wonderful. This is too wonderful. Have you got Revelation 15? And let me ask you, is Peter the only other man who would ever walk on water? John, who recorded this fifth miracle, also wrote the book of Revelation, where he saw things that you and I have not seen yet, and he recorded them. So if he saw them in the future, he had a glimpse of glory ahead of his time, and he came back and wrote it down. Well, look what he wrote here. In Revelation 15, verse 1, he says, "When I was in glory, I saw another sign in the heavens." What sign could he see? Just like these people saw miracles and signs, John saw a sign. Look what it was. He said it was great and marvelous. There were seven angels having seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And look, he said, "I saw, as it were, a sea of glass." You remember it said that the Lord came walking on the sea, right? Yes. Any of you ever been to the ocean and go out early in the morning and the sea is so calm? It's like a mirror, isn't it? It's just like somebody laid glass out there, isn't it? So calm. John said, "That's what I saw. When I got to go up, there was no more storms, you see. This life is just one storm after another, isn't it? But up there, the sea is calm. It's like glass." And he said, "I saw a sea of glass mingled with fire. The light of our Lord is so bright it's like fire dancing on the glass." And he said, "And them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image," this is God's people, "and over his mark and over the number of his name," you know what they're doing? "They stand on the sea of glass having the harps of God." Somebody's standing on the water in glory. Just like the Lord Jesus Christ. And look what, to prove to you that these are the saints of God, look down just a little further to verse 3 and listen to what their song is. "And these that stand on the sea of glass, they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, 'Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy.'" This is God's people. And you know what they're doing in glory? They're standing on the water. You say, what's so important about that? And listen to me a minute. I don't really care that much whether one day in heaven, I know those that are already there, it doesn't matter to them whether they're able to walk on water or not. Okay? Because Christ is everything there. The man Christ Jesus is everything. That's all anybody's concerned about up there. But I'll tell you what the message is here. What this proves is that the Lord Jesus Christ can make a man just like himself. He made Peter walk on water. That's a miracle. And in glory, everybody there is just like Christ. They can walk on water. They can do anything He enables them to. What's that proof? We need a man. We need the man, Christ Jesus. And here's the result of the fifth miracle. And you got verse 33 back in Matthew 14. Then they that were in the ship, they came and worshiped Christ, saying of a truth, Thou art the Son of God. Here's the summary. The Lord Jesus Christ did these five miracles. He changed His people, just like He changed water into wine. The Lord causes His people to hear and to seek Him and to believe Him. The Lord brings His people to the place of mercy and gives them eternal life. Yeah. The Lord provides for His people physically, spiritually, and eternally. And the Lord is making and will make His people just like Him. The Lord Jesus Christ does miracles for a purpose. He does it to manifest His glory, and He does it that His people might believe. Tell you what we need. We need a miracle. And anybody who's got the man Christ Jesus knows that a miracle's been done in them already. And that's what we want for our children and grandchildren, isn't it? Let's pray that the Lord will do a miracle for us. Do it this day in Christ Jesus. May the Lord bless His word.